Face Scars Are Cool, Wednesday. Been There Series, Week 4. First thing is to take a moment and ask God what He wants to show you before listening today. You can even pause this for a moment if needed. Next is the daily. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." John 20:25. I grew up with all brothers, so we love scars. The scar on my forehead is a 16-stitch reminder not to play chicken with older kids going really fast on bikes. The 4-inch scar on my knee is a reminder that you should never play tackle football with your older brother in an old abandoned field full of broken glass. What can I say? Nobody ever accused the carpenters of being geniuses. To prove it, I remember my older brother always wanted a knife scar that ran across his whole face because it would look cool. As I've gotten older, I realize that girls don't feel the same way about scars. The idea of a scar that's visible is actually quite scary, because it would be ugly. I get the cosmetic side of that, but I don't think it works for your scars in your life. Some of us go through life with scars, wishing they would disappear forever. But scars and their stories are important to God, really important. When Jesus appeared to the disciples after his death, he brought his scars for a show and tell. Jesus' resurrected body had some unique abilities, like walking through closed doors and ascending into the clouds. But despite these otherworld qualities, it also had a surprising human feature. It still showed the scars. Jesus could have come back without them. Instead, he chose to keep them. It is because he had a message for us. The nail-scarred hands of Jesus confirm beyond the shadow of any doubt that Jesus suffered. The scars also tell us that because he has suffered, he knows, he cares, he understands. But they also tell us that he has overcome, that he has conquered. Our scars are also important, and he wants to use them. I love the quote by Sharon Janes, "There is a big difference between a wound and a scar. A scar says, 'I've been healed, and this is my story.'" Scars recall old wounds, but they also offer encouragement. They remind us that in those moments when we could have played it safe, we chose to take a risk. When we could have chosen the easy way out, we decided to stay and struggle. When times got tough, we didn't run and hide. Instead, we succumbed to the brutality of the moment, persisted through the pain, and survived to tell about it. Often, life's most formative experiences are not the triumphs on the mountaintop, but those born in the valley of our deepest anguish. Last but not least is your two prayers for the day. First, pray, "God, what are you showing me, and what am I going to do about it?" Second, ask God to help me to see one person that I can serve through a kind word, random act of kindness, or simple gift today. If you're listening through the Epic Life app, make sure you click the back button, then click to complete the reading. If you would like to keep listening for the 4x6 plan, which is how to read through the New Testament with 4 minutes per day, 6 days a week, then here goes. This is Matthew chapter 5 verses 1 through 16. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is Romans chapter 2 verses 12 through 29. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God, if you know His will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you, then, who teach others, do you not to teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Circumcision has value if you observe the law, but if you break the law, you have become as though you had not been circumcised. So then, if those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirements, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are a lawbreaker. A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. Don't forget to click back and complete your reading or comment on the app, and we'll see you tomorrow.